Well, it's good to be in South Carolina. I actually have not been here since you guys put this in place. I haven't been here since Ricky was here. So it's been a long time since I've been in South Carolina, and it's a blessing. It's been a blessing to be here, and my desire is to share something that'll be a blessing to you. You were singing that song, "This is the air I breathe," and there's a line in there. There's two lines in there. One is, "I'm desperate for you." And another line is, "I'm lost without you." When you are in a place of desperation, is that a comfortable place? I mean, most of us, when we're in a place of desperation, we think it sucks. I mean, get me out of this place as quickly as possible. How do we like the idea that we're totally lost? When somebody tells you, you are lost, is that like a happy, joy experience for you? It's another one of those things that freaking sucks, man. I'm like, I hate when I'm lost. Now think of that for a moment, and I want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. And if you want to kind of put your pinky, I think we're going to head over there. But if you remember, in our Tuesday night, everyone will remember these words being spoken by Jesus many times, where he says, "Let those that have ears to hear, hear." And we talked on Tuesday night, it was one of the things Brother Davey brought up, and it's really stuck with me because it's explained to me a lot of why people have problems. Talk about having ears to hear is an act of your will. It's an act of your will. Now let's look over here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now the church of the Thessalonians was an interesting church. If you look at the beginning, and a lot of people skip Paul's kind of beginnings of his letters. They think, oh, he's just sending greetings. No, the beginnings of Paul's letter, like every single word that is in this Bible, is distinctive, and it was specific, and it was for a particular group. The Thessalonians church was the one church where the members became one with God the Father and one with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only church that had that testimony. And what were they known for? They were known for their love one for another. And they were also a church that went through extraordinary tribulation. If you remember, it was in Thessalonica, when you read the book of Acts, that Paul was thrust out. The Jews came against him, and then they even pursued him to Berea, where the people were more noble than those in Thessalonica and had received the word as the very word of God indeed. And they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things that Paul said were right or not. So this church was the one church that really got it right. And I want to mention, highlight from the standpoint of it being that they became one with God the Father and one with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's God's promise to you. I mean, if that's not what you're after, then why are you here? I mean, to come see somebody who does it or to learn to do it yourself? I mean, me personally, I don't want to waste my time with students who aren't interested in learning. I want to devote my time to those who want to learn. So over here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. Well, actually, I'll start with verse 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time." "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now, many folks who are part of this fellowship know this, but a lot of people don't. What he's referring to here, the "he that now letteth," until he be taken out of the way, is that church of brotherly love, the church of Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia is the one that holds back that wicked one coming forth. The mystery of iniquity, which is pride, is working all the time. I mean, John talks about it. There are many antichrists. Remember John in his letters? He's talking about how there are many antichrists. Well, there's going to be one antichrist. But that spirit, that antichrist spirit, is alive and well through all the ages. There's never been that spirit is not working. And so he goes on, until he be taken out of the way. That's referring to the catching away of the church of Philadelphia. And it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's referring to the battle of Armageddon, when the Antichrist and the false prophet find out that they are not gods, but rather they meet the one true God, Jesus, and they get cast alive into the fire. Alive into it. And it goes on, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, the reason why I read this passage is I wanted to get to that phrase, because they received not the love of the truth. See, receiving the love of the truth is your decision. There's nobody in this world who can make it for you. You have to make it. Now, the truth, frequently, don't like the truth, because the truth doesn't testify well of us. Now, let's turn to a truth that will set you free. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and then we'll back up to a couple verses in Romans 7. I'm going to start with verse 18 of chapter 7. For I know, see, this is a truth, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How do you like that truth? Do you like that truth? That in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. My experience is we don't like that truth. Because you know what that tells us? Let me show you something. Before you know Jesus Christ, what do you walk in? Do you walk in the Spirit of God? It's a physical impossibility for you to walk in the Spirit of God before you know Jesus Christ. But because nobody cometh unto the Father, referring to the Spirit of God, I mean, unto God the Father, but the Spirit of God draw you. Right? So when you're out there in the world, you walk according to the flesh. And if no good thing dwelleth in your flesh, then what good thing did you do? What good thing were you? What good thing did you have to offer? Nothing. Well, that's pretty devastating. That's pretty devastating that there was nothing redeemable about anything about me. That's a pretty devastating truth. It's an act of your will to receive that truth. And if you're going to be set free, you got to accept that truth. You got to accept it. If you're still trying to hang on and think that you've had something and think that you are something and all of this kind of stuff, then you're never going to go forward in Christ. So let's watch this. He goes on. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I think a lot of us have experienced that. For the good that I would, I do not. Has that ever testified against you? For the good that I would, I do not. Why can't I do that? He goes on, but how to, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Linda, we were just chatting about that with respect to your dog, weren't we? Yep. My dog's begging at the table. Let me fatten him up and make him in bad health and kill him. Okay, yeah, let's do that. The evil that I, what's it say? But the evil which I would not, that I do. Love my dog. And he's looked so pitiful. Well, love your freaking dog then, and don't give him that scrap because it's killing him. You can see it. But look at him. He's so pitiful. Tough. Do you love him or do you love yourself? Same thing with parents with children. Parents kill their children, all in the name of loving them. All in the name of loving them. I don't want them to suffer. I don't want them to struggle. I don't want them to... You kill them! So it goes on here. It says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you mean it doesn't go away? I mean, it's not just enough that I want to do good and therefore now everything's just easy. No, it means there's a struggle. Now you are actually engaged in the battle. And the battle is one that is a battle to the death. It is not a battle that ends in a day. Oh, I knelt down and accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm this. That's the day the battle begins. Not the day the battle ends. And so it goes on. It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. All right. Paul says a couple things here. First of all, he realized, number one, our flesh is our enemy. It is our mortal enemy. It wants to drag you to hell, and any demonic spirits will cater to it, make you feel good, do everything, tell you pretty little lies, that you will follow after your flesh and go to hell. That's what it does. Talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The seducing spirits are the spirits that cater your flesh and tell you that these things are okay. And the doctrines of devils are the justifications they give you to follow after it. Paul, by contrast, comes to the place he realizes that that body of sin that he's dragging around with him, in which there is no good thing, he's saying, oh, wretched man that I am. That's a truth. The Apostle Paul, who had kept the law like no other, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, I mean, I'm looking around this room, and I know some of you who are listening on online out there. There's not a one of us in approach unto that testimony before we knew Jesus Christ this morning. There's not a one of us who can even approach that stand. He called it all dung. It was stuff to be cast off, thrown out, gotten shed of in every way, put down with all vehemence, anger, and give no place to rise up at all. And instead, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, which is the law of faith in Christ Jesus. The law of God is not the law of Moses, folks. It is not the law of Moses. Cast that law of Moses behind. Of all of this. That's why you need a Savior. It's the whole purpose of it. Once it has done that, what purpose does it have in your life? What purpose does it have? Doesn't have any more purpose. So you cast that off. And with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, the flesh is sin. To think it is anything else, to think it's something you can pretty up, it's to think it's something that you can make acceptable to God, to think it's something that you can present and that He will be pleased with, You got to get completely shed of that notion, which is what? Remember we talking about with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that love not the truth? See, that over there in 2 Thessalonians is all about those who try to make a show in their flesh. They try to make a show in the flesh. They don't want to receive that truth that in their flesh dwelleth no good thing. Because that's what everybody else is looking at. And they're so accustomed to wanting to make their flesh appealing to people and to be acceptable to people and to be all of these different things. Doesn't work. Now watch this. Let's go on. So with his mind, he chooses to believe the gospel and the sufficiency of that sacrifice for his sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God in the flesh. And what happens here, folks, is that you have to, as an individual, you have to exercise your will to receive truth. It is the truth that sets you free, the scripture says. And you may not like that truth. Well, you have to determine to love that truth. For example, I've been talking with Paul. Paul and I were chatting about some things yesterday. Some of those things that we are chatting about don't testify well, do they, Paul? But the thing is you have to choose to love the truth and walk in it. Because if you don't, you die. You die. And Paul knows that probably better than just about anybody in this room. Because he has to breathe. You know, when we sing that song, "This is the air I breathe," just to breathe is a struggle for Paul. The rest of us take it for granted. Do you ever think about your breathing? I don't think about my breathing. I mean, I breathe. For Paul, he has to think about his breathing. And we know, according to the scripture, that we are to die unto ourselves, right? We're to die unto ourselves. We are to give no place to that flesh, which is constantly wanting to be comforted, constantly wants to feel good, constantly wants to be lifted up and that exalted and set up and things like that. That's all the stuff. What you have to do is you have to put down. Those cannot have any place in what your desires are. You have to mortify the deeds of the flesh, as Paul said in the back. And that's not, that's something that is contrary to our nature. But we have to step out in that. And we have to, everything about the Lord, loving you, Brad, loving you, Lisa, loving your mom, loving your son, these different things, loving Edmund, loving Linda, loving anybody, is contrary to our flesh. Our flesh looks at people as means to ends. What are we getting from this person? The love of God is not looking for what you're getting. It's always looking for what you're giving. And what you're giving is not about the table scraps. It's about what's right for that person. Amen. So I just wanted to hit on this because that act of choosing to exercise your will to hear the truth is going to mean you're going to be confronted with some truths that are unpleasant to you. In me dwelleth no good thing. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. All of those are uncomfortable places. All of those are truths that we don't like. But it's only in that place that you're able to then walk through in what it said over here in Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, that is, give you new life, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led of this by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Watch that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you want to be the son of God? If you want to be the son of God, then you've got to put this down. Mortify means to kill. That's what it means, is to kill, to put down, to give no place to. If you want to be the sons of God, you got to do that. And it doesn't come natural. So you got somebody who comes around, it's called a shepherd, you know, who has a little, he has a rod and a staff. They comfort you. Why? Because if you love the truth, you want to know when you're getting out of the way, right? It's not a thing that you're unhappy with. You want to know you're getting out of the way because you know you get out of the way, you get into danger. But that rod and that staff, when they're being applied to you, may not feel very good. They may not feel very good, but you come to love them and to rely upon them because you know it's for your good, kind of like your mom telling you to eat your vegetables, right? You come to, I mean, me, one of the things, I eat lots of vegetables. Why? Because I know it's good for me. Do I prefer them over the other things? No. But I eat lots of them because they're good for me. Doesn't matter whether I prefer them. I prefer ice cream. I don't know about you. I prefer ice cream. But I don't eat a lot of ice cream. I eat some. But what's it say? Being temperate in all things, everything in its proper manner. So you end up having to just choose to love these things, folks. And when you do, then you can become the son of God. And when you become the son of God, now you walk in the power of God. Now you walk in the love of God. Now you demonstrate the Spirit and power. That's what you do. And then people can know that Jesus is real. It's not a game anymore. It's not a game. It's not play church. It's real life in Christ. Amen. Amen. Who's up next? You, Phil or Paul? Looks like Paulie's coming up here.
The one thing that I would hesitate to point out, it's always a dangerous game following a lawyer. But Steve has blessed us with his presence and his word, the Lord's word. So that's a good thing. So much for my attempted humor. I didn't get one laugh with that. All those comedians out of work. This guy's trying to be one. The good news is that that truth that testifies against us is only a portion of what truth is. The rest of that story is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. The truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ extended unto you, because when you realize the truth testifies against you, and you get desperate. He said, you know, Steve says, an active choice to receive the love of the truth. And it is. I'm not arguing with that. But I will say that in my life, it was an act of desperation. And if I hadn't been made desperate, the press would have not been on me to want to receive the love of the truth. But the truth does set you free. And the truth is, you don't have to stay that way. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, and took my place on the planks. That's the truth. Receive the truth and let it set you free.
Works better when you turn it on. He saw me coming. He knew I was going to just talk, so he turned it off on me. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over here to Luke. And chapter 9. And verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, I think of that. And I remember one time when I was young, and I went forward to the altar with that same enthusiasm. Man, I'll go wherever you say. Amen. Some of you in here probably went to the altar two or three times with that enthusiasm. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Basically, let me go get my inheritance, then I'll come along with you. I know. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I touched on this one time before. Not being fit for the kingdom of God means not being ready. See, when I first went to the altar, I was excited. I went after the Lord with Philios love, with emotional, physical, fleshly love. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. And how do I know I wasn't ready? Because I turned around and went backwards. And I could blame people for it. I could blame the preacher that preached one Sunday that having received Christ and his beautiful spirit and all this, if you sin again, you're going to go to hell. There's no more salvation. Of course, it wasn't 2 days later I sinned. I figured I was toast. That was it, so why bother? I wasn't fit. Then I went to another church and got excited and went to the altar again. I still found I wasn't fit. And you know, you get this feeling, what's the use? But I look over and I see Elijah. And I see where Elijah was told to go get Elisha. And Elisha said pretty much the same thing this guy said to Jesus. He wanted to go home and make everything right with his father. So Elijah said to him, what have I to do with you? And started to walk off. And Elisha made a decision. He made a decision. This decision was not based on feelings. This decision was based on reality of the truth. And he went and burned the implements, the plows, and went and killed and killed and barbecued, if you will, the oxen, gave it to the people, and he left. When you come to Jesus Christ, you have to come not in a fit of emotion. Emotion is good when it comes to the Lord. I love it. But when you come to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, you can't come in a fit of emotion. You have to come with the full knowledge that you're going to put your eyes on Jesus and you're going to keep them there. And no matter what happens, no matter how you feel, no matter how the devil hits you, no matter what comes against you, no matter whether you're feeling good or you're feeling bad, whether you can breathe or you can't breathe, whether you can talk or you can't talk, you have got to come to the knowledge that you're going to accept Christ and receive Him and walk in Him no matter what. And then you're fit. Because then you won't have to turn around and look back. So, if you've turned and looked back, whether you're in this room, or whether you're listening by air, or on the internet, or by tape, and you have turned and looked back, and felt now that you're unworthy to receive Christ, let me assure you, you are unworthy to receive Christ. But Christ is worthy, and He chooses to receive you. Turn your eyes on Him. Look unto Him. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't let anything draw you back. When you make that decision to follow Christ with your mind, to follow the truth with your mind and not your emotions. Emotions are tied to the flesh. When you do that, then you're fit. Then you can do it. Because then you'll do it whether you feel like it or not. It's like husbands love your wives. It's easy to love a wife when she's good to you. When she serves you. When she does the things you like and the things you want her to do. And she's in a cheerful, good mood all the time. That's easy to love a woman like that. But when you walk in that house and she's got that look on her face that I'm going to eat something. Your head, maybe. That's a hard one to love. But you got to do it anyway. You got to do it anyway. Because God loves you when you're like that. Amen. So if you've been one of those that look back, remember, you fell away because you were unfit. You weren't ready. But now, knowing the truth, and knowing that receiving Christ is a decision that is made with your will, not your emotions, now you're fit. Now you're ready. Get in your closet. Pray to the Father in secret. And when you come out, He'll reward you openly.
Praise the Lord. That was a good word that we had. And one of the part was of being fit. And not being ready. But when you choose to be ready and to go forward in that which the Lord has, no no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like. I mean, one of the things that was shown to me this past week was that mustard seed type of faith, where that seed knows that no matter if it's a boulder in front of it, it knows there's light on the other side, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to give up. It's going to go forward and believe that the light's on the other side. Okay? And one of the things that happens is as we do that, what will happen is the Lord will show up. We're talking about, I mean, it was just a few minutes this morning with Steve and Davey, and I recognized that I was actually, the way I was operating in was some things that I was operating actually in the flesh. It was tied to the flesh, and it really wasn't right. It really wasn't right. And I thought I was one way, and I was wrong. But earlier this week, I was choosing that mustard seed type faith, and I believed that there was light on the other side. But what happened is the Lord showed up, and He provided me a better way as I went forward. He provided me some counsel, just a few minutes with these guys, and I got some counsel in a better way. In a better way, a more clear way. And see, the Lord shows up for you like that. And He's going to give you those around you and give you that which you need to go and operate how He would have you operate accurately. But it's making that choice. And when that correction comes, because that's what it is, when that correction comes, you take heed to it and you go forward. But see, if you're tied still to the flesh and you're still trying to love with that philios love, that correction's not going to make you feel good and you're going to turn away. Don't turn away. Don't turn away, but go forward and take that which the Lord has for you. And the provision that He has for you. And go forward. It says in the Scripture, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. What I got is just that. We need to be able to be at a place where we receive that. Might not necessarily feel good, like Steve was talking about the vegetables. But it is. You can still
receive comfort from the rock.
That's right. Because you know, if you veer off, there's death on that side. But that's one thing that struck me this morning. So as you choose, keep choosing and actually take heed to that direction, that counsel that's given.
Amen.
Amen.